You're on your Classic Hits Breakfast with Jordan Curtis. And when it comes to gardening, you may put a lot of effort into your yard and still find that some parts of your garden are struggling to grow or even are struggling to stay alive. What's going on here? I'm joined by Jenny Dillon, gardening editor with Better Homes and Gardens magazine. Jenny, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
So what is it about our gardens? It's a bit of a patchwork of different plants, but what makes some grow and some die?
Oh, God, you know, you do this. Spring is a good time to have a good wander around your garden and find out, you know, if your plants have survived winter, then they're in the right spot. If they're really struggling come springtime, you know that they haven't had the energy to survive the winter time, and there's lots of little things that can be going wrong with your garden. You know, like, for example, a case in point is mine. I live in a house, but I'm surrounded by apartments. And my garden is north-facing, but because of the apartments next door, I've got a south-facing garden. So I've got to plant the south-oriented plants, which means that you get less sun, more shade, that sort of stuff. So if there's a tree or a building or a shed or something that's casting shadows, then and you've got sun-loving plants there, then that's one of the problems that you might be encountering. And so, of course, you've got to change your planting methods and put in shade-loving plants.
I guess it's a bit of a work in progress then, isn't it? Because, if, like you said, if you're keeping an eye on your plants through the winter as they come into spring, I guess you have to experiment with the garden layout each and every year to try and find the best fit.
Yeah, especially as neighbourhoods change. You know, as I said, you know, I had some apartments around my place, and then they built up another one right next to my bedroom, and I'd put this window in so I could get low winter sun, and now I just get high winter shade. But there you go. Another thing is, you know, like, a lot of gardens create little microclimates. I mean, you may think that you're in a garden where you're living in a dry Mediterranean climate, but pockets of your garden, because of certain things, create a microclimate. Like, for example, you may have area where there's no flow of fresh air, so humidity builds up, or you may have a mass of plants, and lots of plants create more humidity, and so suddenly you go from a dry climate into a moist one, and that will affect the plants that you have. One of the things also that happens a lot is that you've had tradies around, you know, and they've been doing things around the house, and they're tipping their leftover things into the garden, which they do, so annoying. And that can affect the pH level of your soil. So do a pH test, and if it's gone too alkaline or too acidic, then you just have to go and buy lime or sulfur to adjust your pH levels to bring it back into balance.
I guess if you are getting patches of your garden maybe struggling to stay alive, could it be pests? Do they target certain plants?
Look, pests and disease always go first for the weakest plants. It's easier to get them. You know, a healthy plant would ward off these things. But if they're already weakened, then pests and disease will sort of move in. And they will then move on to the plants next door that are healthy. So, you know, when a plant is struggling, you've got to either do something to make it better or remove it and put something else in there, because it'll spread to the rest of your garden. It's a horrible thing.
So I guess it's just a matter of assessing what kind of conditions your garden has and what you can work with, and planting things that play to those strengths.
Yeah. For example, you know, good case in point is your lawn. Now, in wintertime, your lawns, you know, go to sleep. They don't produce much blades of grass. But it's also when, because the sun is low and you've got more shadows, you'll develop bald patches in your lawn. And that's when you think, oh, how's it ever going to sort of recover? Sometimes it doesn't, because the weeds have moved in. You know, there's little opportunistic horrors that sort of come along with this bit of soil. So think differently. Okay, you like the lawn, you like the beautiful green thing that it has, but if it's going to be dying back in winter and creating these bare patches, then think about putting something else in instead of lawn. For example, a lovely low ground cover that loves shade. You know, case in point is the beautiful native violet. It's a ground cover. It spreads very, very easily. And come springtime, you've got these beautiful little tiny violet and white flowers popping up. And you don't have to mow it. And they're really, really hardy. You can not necessarily walk over it all the time, but, you know, if I'm stepping on it, it springs back. So just think about, you still have your green, but it doesn't have to be a lawn. It can be a ground cover.
Yeah, don't commit yourself to any one thing. Just be happy to play around and to find the best fit for your garden.
Yeah, yeah. And always remember as well that soil is your key to a good plant health, you know, and whether you've got clay soil or sandy soil or whatever, always add as much as you can, and especially into garden beds and into lawn organic matter. You know, it's just, you know, nice, sweet-smelling compost, basically, but you can get them, you know, bags from your nursery. And what this does is it helps clay soils drain better. It helps sandy soils retain all the nutrients that they need. And if you've got good, healthy soil, you end up with good, healthy plants.
No worries. Well, we'll just leave it there. But, Jenny, thank you so much for chatting today.
That's quite all right.
That was Jenny Dillon, gardening editor with Better Homes and Gardens magazine on your Classic Hits Breakfast.